Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Jan Janais and Max Cohen. This episode, we are going to discuss the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Bolton. It's an unfortunate result, and we will talk about it as we go through the show. I'm disappointed. I still will take the point, though. Now go to my co-host. Welcome them back to the show. First, Mr. Janais, how you doing?
I'm not happy at all right now. We drew with bloody Burton, and my wife's just called me and says she wants me to go to that 50 Shades of Grey rubbish. I want to stay home and fold my own socks.
How you feeling, Giannis?
Good. I enjoyed that game, Russ. It was, we were saying before the show, I think it's excellent preparation for the games coming up. Bolton were physical. The ref really let both teams play. The home fans were hostile. The conditions weren't good. And they gave us a battle for 90 minutes. So it's going to prep us up for, you know, we've got some wars coming up. And that was a bit of a water day.
It was, Giannis. And we'll go through it in this show today. I look forward to getting both of your thoughts. But before I go through it, let me bring on Max. Max, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, I've been better, Russ. I'm so used to winning over the past, you know, 5 matches that when you don't win, you're obviously a bit frustrated. And for me, it all comes down to that double substitution. Just Lavisa trying to be too aggressive didn't pay off. Actually backfired for me. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that later on, though. But disappointing, but not the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world. It's, like I said, it's just disappointing because it was there for them. Teams around us had draws, so it was an opportunity to gain some points, unfortunately. I guess you could say we didn't gain and we didn't lose anything in many ways. So that's fine. But with the matches coming up, this is an opportunity lost. And I think Savisa and the players will look at it that way because it was there for them. But we have to give Bolton a good amount of credit for making it difficult on Fulham. Giannis, and I'll start with you. You've already shared some of your thoughts, but I actually want to start and give some credit to the opposition because we don't talk enough about how the opposition played against Fulham and how they made it difficult on Fulham. Fulham go up 1-0 early, and it looked like they were going to cruise, and they didn't cruise at all. They came into the game, and they made it difficult throughout the game. So my opening thoughts are, I'll take the point. I'm disappointed with the result, but I also have to give credit to the opposition, Giannis. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we never really got going in this game for me. We scored the early goal, lovely goal by Target, and we just didn't seem to step into the next gear. And I think
it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, and they Bolton did a really good job of closing down space. I didn't really think they were going to create anything. But having said that, I think at Slava at halftime, we probably thought, well, we're in this game, but we're not really in this game. And that sort of necessitated the double substitution.
Right.
Two ways you can look at that. I applaud him for doing it. And remember, I mean, it was within a couple of minutes of coming on that Camara, that beautiful cross by Steph Joan, Camara's really should finish that. And that 2-0, it's game over. But you know what? It was a good game. And again, you've got to give credit to Bolton. They worked very, very hard. And on reflection, they certainly deserve the point.
That's the way I look at it. I have to give them credit. I have to say they pretty much deserve the point for the way that they played and battled throughout this game, and it's unfortunate because it was there for Fulham, especially in the end. We'll go through the end because Fulham had some very good opportunities to win this match and just could not convert, and that does happen. But in the end, I'll take the point, but I am definitely disappointed, and I don't think the performance was nearly at the levels that we have seen it, and I think that's also disappointing. Sometimes you don't get to see the performance, but you get the result. This is kind of a combination of the both. This is, I could say, below average performance. So to get the point, I think is decent considering the performance. Max, your opening thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go out on a limb here and say the last 3 matches, we've been poor. And just this match has kind of caught up to us and we haven't gotten the fortune we've gotten the last 3 matches. I mean, if you look at the Barnsley match, without a sending off, we're probably not going to win the game. And even with the man advantage, we got very lucky with the kind of scrambled home equalizer, a scrambled home winner, in the last minutes. And against Forest, and there's 0-0 until very late on, we got lucky with a Pantilimon mistake. And they easily could have equalized if it wasn't for the Ben Belly double save. And then today, I think we can all agree we were not at our best the entire match. And I think it's not great performances. And we've gotten those gritty results over the past couple run of matches, but today it just didn't fall for us. Even though at the end it might have seemed we could have gotten that winner, and that would have been fitting given our recent form, but I think something's missing right now. Could it be Kearney? Could it be just not the strikers playing the potential? But if we're going to play against the best teams in the league, we're going to have to be better than this, I think.
I agree with that, Max, and you bring up some good points. Listen, we saw Kearney at the tail end of this match, and we also saw the double substitution, and we're going to definitely talk about that. But I guess you could say the bright side of a bad result is, again, the double substitution, Max, over the course of time, if we see Kamara and Mitrovic play more often, I think maybe their partnership will build. Would you agree with that? I think this is difficult to throw the two of them together and still learning how to play together. So we're definitely going to talk about the double substitution later, but I could see this as, well, put them on together. Let's see if it works. But I have to think that them playing together over a course of time will pay dividends.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, when the double substitution came up and General Jim announced it, I was delighted.
Yep.
You know, the prospect of having Mitrovic and Kamara running at the defense. And until that point, the Bolton back line looked pretty weak. I think we probably could have taken advantage. And throughout the whole first half,
I think that's what's disappointing, Max. I'm glad that you brought it up. Their defense is weak, and we did not trouble it enough.
Yeah, and Font really did not seem up for the task, especially in the physical department in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So when we brought in Mitrovic and Kamara, I was really excited to see what they could do. And looking back, it was probably a bit naive to make that call. When you're up 1-0 and you're a bit under pressure, you don't bring on two strikers, in my book. I think the fans loved it. I loved it. But you kind of need a manager to be a bit more removed from that kind of, I don't know, gung-ho attitude and have a bit more match management, I think.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely get to that when we talk about the second half, my friend. All right. Let's start with the starting 11 and the 18 overall. Giannis, I'll get your thoughts on that first. I have to say, I was actually kind of hoping I would see Mitrovic to begin, but then I thought about after I looked at it, well, he probably isn't ready to go 90 plus yet. So I understood. I expected him to play Font, but in the back of my mind, I was hoping that he was going to start Mitrovic. Your thoughts on the starting 11 and the 18?
Didn't have any problems with it at all. Certainly with the starting 11, it's what I expected. I didn't think he was going to change the Font Sessegnon, you know, Font Sessegnon Piazon triple. The only surprise, I suppose, was the exclusion of Naiskins Cabana. Poor Naiskins, eh? They did the Sun did a 2-page special on Ryan Sessegnon this week, and they put a picture of Naiskins Cabana instead of Sessegnon. Talk about the kiss of death. But I mean, the bench looks strong, and Kenny's got a, you know, Kenny was on the bench, at least he got some time. We talked about Kamara, you know, down in the pecking order, so it was nice that he was subbed on. Mitrovic, I don't want to see Floyd Aiton on the field, to be honest. And Christy, you've got to feel a little bit unlucky for, because it was just the nature of the beast in the game that the two fullbacks I thought were playing well. And Fredericks is making a very strong case that, you know, Christie's obviously a long-term solution, but he doesn't want to lose his spot by any means. But nothing wrong with the lineup. No complaints about the starting 11.
Okay. Max, how about you?
Yeah, I think Giannis really touched on everything. I was going to say, for the most part, I agree that Nissan Sabana dropped out of whole 18 squad. That's surprising for me, especially when he tweeted early on today, match day, of the picture of him playing and looking ready to go. So that signals to me that he might not have expected to be completely left out of the squad, which is interesting, but I guess that's what we have to deal with, considering we have so many good options on the bench.
Right.
And then
it was a strong bench, though.
Yeah. Strong bench.
Yeah.
Christie hasn't even played a minute since we signed him. That shows Aite can't get a look in. And then we obviously saw Kamara, Mitrovic, and Kearney, all three of which could easily start. I mean, anyone on that bench could start, which shows how strong we are, how deep we are. And then I think with the Kamara situation, I think Gentleman Jim brought it up during the match. You know, really, what's he done wrong to be really kind of frozen out a bit the past couple of matches. Nothing. And when he came on, obviously that first chance he missed, and that's a big turning point, I think. But I was really impressed with Kamara. It's really strong driving runs. And you saw it. He almost had a tour opportunity.
For me with Kamara, it's the commitment. It's the way that he presents himself. He goes 150% when he's out there. And it might not come off. And it's disappointing, that opportunity. It's extremely disappointing. But he just keeps at it. And I think his attitude when he's out there can be infectious.
Yeah, and you even saw when he had that driving run, just pick up the ball basically right at the halfway line and tore through the entire Bolton defense. And that's the kind of player he is. You just create an opportunity out of nothing. Probably could use that physicality, that impetus from the start, I think.
Okay, very good point. Because it's funny, Scott and I were talking about that on the preview show about Kamara. Potentially, he was thinking about maybe Kamara should start for some of the reasons you were just talking about, Max. And so that was something that I was thinking about too. I thought Scott had a very good point, Tamfield, on the preview show, that maybe Savisa should have considered Kamara from the get-go. So against this type of team. And I think he brought him on in the second half, partially because of his pace and his physicality, along with Mitrovic. But we'll talk about that when we talk about the second half. All right, guys, let's go through the match. Let's start with the first half, and we'll go through the major points. And Giannis, I'll go straight to you and get your thoughts on the goal by Matthew Target. This is set up by a cross from Sessegnon, and then it got to Font in his header, eventually got to Target, and Target headed it in. Thoughts on the early goal here?
Lovely goal. Lovely goal. Nice to see Target push up. I'm going to make this early assessment. I think he was our man of the match. Target has slotted in very, very well at left back. He's given... I mean, Sessegnon had yes, he does. He does. And no wonder Southampton are so high on him. And it was... You know, it's great that we got Sessegnon pushing forward as a striker as he's playing at. But for Target to make that run, it was a really nicely set up goal. Target, you know, beautifully guided header. And it was a nice nod back from Font. And just a word about Font. Font, you know, is a very, very hard-working player. And it was sort of odd because in the first, the first 8-9 minutes of the second half, he was running around working so hard. So I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't surprised about the double sub. But I might have given Font a little bit more time and kept him out there with, I mean, you know, it's hindsight. I might have kept him out there a little bit longer to play with Camara because they have played together and see what would happen. I thought you could see he was disconsolate when he came off, and he was, and probably with good reason, because he'd done more than anybody at the start of the second half to try and make things happen. But back to the goal, it was a nice goal, and it's, you know, 4 minutes in, you're thinking, okay, we're on the front foot now, but we didn't ever really get going. And I'm sure that when Slava sits down with the coaches and then with the players on Monday, he's going to say, look, in the bigger games, we can't go a goal up and then take our foot off the pedal.
That's right.
And we did that, and we let Bolton... No, actually, no, we didn't let Bolton. Bolton kept on doing what they did, and they did it well.
Right,
and we just needed to go off a little bit.
It's a very interesting way to look at it. And I'm glad that you started off by saying us and then you talked about them, because they took back control, especially in the first half when we had the opportunity to make it 2-0. We're going to talk about that in just a second, because they finally came into the game. And then they were putting themselves in position to potentially get the equalizer in the first half. It didn't happen for them, but they were definitely gaining control of the match in the first half, even though that they were down a goal. They were definitely, I guess you could say, putting their style on the second half of the first half. That's the way I looked at it. Yeah. All right, Max, over to you. I think this is the lost opportunity, the golden opportunity to put them down 2-0. I'm talking about Bolton. This is the opportunity for Fulham to be up 2-0. You have the shot by Font that's saved by the goalkeeper. And I've watched this now, watched the replay of this. And sorry, he needs to score here. I know it's a decent save, but this is a missed opportunity. Your thoughts?
Yeah, for me, this really shows the two sides of Rui Font. The first side is the hardworking pressure, the diligent pressing. He really harassed David Weider. And, it was great the way he fashioned the chance. And the second side for me is kind of lack of goal-scoring instinct. I mean, he's only scored, what, 3 goals all season in the league? That's just not good enough for a striker you buy for upwards of £9 million. And when he's through a goal one-on-one, yeah, of course, it's never an easy opportunity. It was a good save by the keeper, but he's got to put that away. You know, he's got to, because if it's 2 mil, as you rightly said, that totally takes the wind out of the Bolton sails. Within 10 minutes, it would have been. And I remember thinking after he missed that chance, I didn't want to think it, but then the thing true is that it's going to come back to bite us at the end of the match that we didn't take this chance.
I totally agree, Max. That's what was going through my mind, that they could really regret this in the end. And of course they did. And because these are the opportunities that you really have to take advantage of. And unfortunately, they didn't, and it did come back to bite them. All right, Giannis, to you, I really just want to get your analysis of the rest of the half, because I want to say maybe 20, 25 minutes is when I really noticed Bolton really getting into the match. And you have a couple of opportunities in the second half, both by Zach Clough. First in the 19th minute, a nice save by Marcus Bettinelli. And then in the 35th minute, another save by Bettinelli on Clough. But I just want you to just explain to everyone what you were seeing through your eyes in regards to the play of Bolton in the, I guess you could say, the second half of the first half, because that's when I noticed them really getting into it.
I think to give them credit, I mean, they were very, very good at closing space down. They left a lot of marks. There was a lot of shirt pulling. There were some late challenges. I know Henry got you know, yellow card in the first half. But what I think they did a good job of, and I've got to give the coaching staff credit, is that they assessed what the ref was going to allow them to get away with. And it seemed as though in the second part of that first half...
That's a great point, Giannis. Go ahead.
Yeah, the chances started... They started getting a lot more physical and leaving, you know, and just asking more questions physically. And the ref was... And a pretty young ref, he was letting them go. He was letting them play. And to give the ref credit, you know, you don't really like to see it, but the bad ref is the one who's always inconsistent. And to be fair, he sort of, and you from time to time you get refs like that, or just let them play. Do I think there should have been more yellow cards bandied out? Probably, yeah. You do want to keep these skillful players on the pitch, and you don't want them to be kicked to lumps all over the place. But you're on the road. You've got, I think, a Lancashire ref, and the Bolton players played on the fact that he was letting it, you know, he was letting them do whatever they wanted. Yeah. And to be fair to them, they got more physical, and it was upsetting some of our players. It was upsetting our fans, and they wanted Fulham to know that they were going to be in a war, and that's how it turned out.
Excellent analysis there, Giannis. And I'm glad that you brought up the refs here, because I can talk about this in other sport that you and I both follow, and we talk about this here with the New England Patriots, that the Patriots play to how the refs are calling the game. And good teams do that. They get away with what they can get away with. They play the way the style of play is being set by the refs. And that's exactly what Bolton did. They took advantage of that. And so you have to give them credit for that. They knew that they could get away with more. They could be more physical. And that's what you should do. And that's what Bolton did. So I want to give them credit for that, for taking advantage of that. I don't like that style of play. I'm just talking about specifically. I don't like it at all. Let me stress that. I don't like how they did that, but I understand why they did it, if that makes sense, Giannis.
Yeah, it
because
does.
They're playing it the way the ref is allowing them to do it, so they're taking advantage of it. I just don't like that at all. I don't like it at all. I want to see football. That wasn't football out there at times, but the refs allowed them to do it. So they were basically imposing their style on Fulham, partially because of the leeway that they were given. So that's an excellent point there, my friend. Glad that you brought up the refs. And it's not a negativity on the refs. It's just talking about how it was being played. It's just if it's being played a certain way, then you have to react to how the refs are going to let you play it. And that's what Bolton did. So anyways, let's now transition to the second half, and let's talk about, I think, the talking point of the match, and that's this double substitution. You can say the talking point, one of the major talking points here. And I'll start with you, Max, and then I'll go back to you, Giannis, because I think you guys disagree on the double substitution. So, Max, I'll start with you. In the 51st minute, we have Mitrovic coming on and Kamara coming on. and Font and Piazon come off. Now, you have already mentioned how hardworking Font was, and I couldn't agree more, and I believe Giannis said it as well. So he probably felt that he shouldn't have come off at that point. This was the decision to be made. I saw it as he was going for it. It wasn't working. So he tried something different to try to match the physicality of Bolton. That's the way I was looking at it, Max. Doesn't sound like you really like this double substitution.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying with the physicality. I would agree with that, actually, that we need to
That's one of the big reasons why I think Savisa did it, was to match the physicality and also have the pace of Kamara.
Yeah, but what I would say is, why do you need the double sub then?
Okay.
Do what he did against Forrest. Take off Font, put in Mitrovic or Kamara, either one, but don't put them both on at the same time, because that leaves you too open, I think. I think you take off Font, sure, you sub on Mitrovic, that would be fine with me. But the fact that you made the two strikers on, I think you need to put in Kearney at that point. I think you need someone to try to control the match and try to shore up a midfield, because that's where we were struggling. Because I think just putting on the two strikers at the same time, and also considering they've never played together before. They never played up top in the same position. They don't really have any history of knowing where they were. And you can see the runs weren't quite in sync. So when you're going to do that, it's a bit of a gamble. And if you're trying to cling on to a result away from home, that's not the right place to experiment.
Okay.
So for me, it was, looking back, kind of backfired. And we didn't really control the match. And Mitrovic didn't really touch the ball much. Misses one big opportunity. And it was not a great sub for me from Savisa.
Okay. So for you, it has to deal with both of them at the same time. And I want to also throw this to you, Max. It sounds like, based on what you're saying, that maybe Savisa played his hand too early because it's in the 51st minute.
Yeah, it was odd. I mean, I think against Forrest, he made a similar sub, just Mitrovic on for Font, fairly early on in the second half. But to make that double sub, barely 5 minutes into the second half, he obviously must have seen something with Font early on that he didn't like, because why not just make that during halftime? So it was a bit puzzling for me. It wasn't the end of the world. I mean, I don't think that's really why we threw the match. I think the defense wasn't great, the midfield wasn't great, but I mean, it didn't really have the intended effect, obviously, as neither of them could get that winning goal.
Okay. Over to you, Giannis. You had said earlier that you applauded this double substitution. So please feel free to share your thoughts on this, I guess you could say, major talking point in this match.
I didn't have a problem with it because I for me, Slava's got to a point where he's gone, I've had enough. And I've done that as a coach. You know, you're up against a team that physically are taking the piss, and he's put up with it for a half. And he's figured, okay, enough of this, you know, because I've got strikers up there that aren't the most physical. I don't want them getting hurt. So you want to play that game? You know what? If I put Kamara up against Carl Henry, it's going to look like the Incredible Hulk up against a mouse, because Kamara can handle himself. So I think he's figured he's going to fight fire with fire. And, you know, the double substitution, you could criticize if it really, you know, if it led to the goal, but if you think about it, the goal was a bit of a wonder goal. It's a route one goal, and Lafondre, who has scored a goal goals against us, he's hit it with aplomb, and you can't argue with that. It's not like we didn't create chances. And the other thing about Kamara and Mitrovic, to be fair to Slava, you'll never know how they play together unless you play them together. So in a game like this,
that was my point from the beginning, Giannis, because you want to build that chemistry at some point.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, and do it in a game like this. I mean, would I do that against, you know, Villa, you know, Derby, Wolves? No. And as I said, I'd have probably kept Font for a little longer. Piazon wasn't having a great game. So, keep Font on for a little longer and then throw Mitrovic out there and see what happens. But, you know, if you don't put them together, you're not going to know. And I'm sure he's going to have seen stuff on the field today which encouraged him that it can work in certain situations given certain circumstances. So, you know, it's not like we didn't have chances to have won it.
And late in the match.
Yeah, we've asked. He's figured we're going to ask more questions and be more physical, and it's it didn't, you know, it's not like we didn't create the chances, but Lafondre's equaliser was an excellent goal, and you've got to give him credit for that. And, you know, I don't have a problem with Slava doing what he did. It was bold. He assessed the game accordingly. He made the decisions. You live and die by the sword, and that's fine.
What do you think about Max bringing up the point about Kearney? Maybe Kearney should have come on earlier.
No, and only because we don't know his exact fitness percentage level right now. I know there was, you know, Slava in the pregame had talked about, you know, he's been training, he's in good shape. I think what they're doing is they're managing his energies and they're managing his ability to play on. Let's be honest, I think it was actually a risk to bring him on today because you're playing against a very physical team that would have been looking to headhunt on a pitch, a good pitch, but in difficult conditions because of the rain. And I'm sure he was fretting about bringing him on in case, you know, he aggravated the injury. Luckily, he came out unscathed. That, to me, was a more calculated risk than the double substitution.
Okay. Very interesting there. We'll get a little bit further into the second half. And Giannis, I'm going to go right back to you. Let me just mention that in the 52nd minute, you have the Kamara miss set up by Johansson. And then in the 59th minute, you have their double substitution, Maurice and Lafondre coming on. Obviously, Lafondre will make an impact in just a few minutes after he comes on, and Little and Clough come off. And I got to be honest with you, as Gentleman Jim was saying, I was happy to see Zach Clough go off because I thought he was dangerous a decent amount of the match. So that didn't bother me at all. Unfortunately, though, Adam Lafondre made a difference, Giannis. And you've already mentioned this, so let's talk about the goal, the equalizer in the 61st minute. This was complete route one, right to Lafondre. And this is a great goal. There's nothing Marcus Bettinelli could have done here.
Absolutely nothing. And Lafondre's he's a funny one, isn't he? He's been a right traveler. He would have got, I wouldn't say the air miles.
He can still score goals, Giannis, wherever he goes.
Yes, he can. You know, and that's the thing. I was glad to see the back of Zach Clough.
So was I.
But, yeah. But, you know, Lafondre, he's been with a number of clubs. But, you know, whether it was Reading, people forget before that, he scored goals at Rotherham and Rochdale. The guy can score goals, and he does score goals wherever he goes. And it was a nice finish. And there's nothing Betts can do, but Betts hasn't put a foot wrong in the whole game. And that's just one of those wonder strikes. He's hammered it, and that's it. And you give credit where it's due. And to really, to be fair, on the reflection of play, it's probably an equaliser that they did deserve. They really scrapped it out. And let's not forget the circumstances of the game. They were in, you know, 20th place. And the bottom three teams go down. Well, I'm sure that the word would have got around at some point. The whole city went 2-0 up on the road.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're putting pressure. And as you can see with that incredible Sunderland fight back today to get a point down at Ashton Gate, you know, there's still a lot to play for. Bolton, every point is going to count. So they fought like lions and deserve the equaliser. Not really something you could have legislated for, but it's a lovely finish by Lafondre. And then all of a sudden we were on the back foot.
Absolutely, Giannis. And I'm glad that you brought that up because after that, they really were controlling the match. You have another shot by Lafondre in the 69th minute that's saved by Bettinelli. And then in the 71st minute, you have the shot by Josh Vella that just goes over the net. So they are continually putting on the pressure, controlling the match. But then slowly but surely, Fulham started to then try to take control back. And you have a very key moment. That's Tom Kearney coming on for Oliver Norwood. It's just good to see him back. And I think he did a nice job coming on, Tom Kearney. So I just want to mention that. And let's just talk about another key moments. And then we're going to start. In the 81st minute, you have the shot by Kamara. And then, Max, I'm going to go to you because I want to get your thoughts on this opportunity. Here was a chance for Mitrovic to score his first Fulham goal. In the 85th minute, the play finally gets to him, and he just goes wide. Your thoughts about this opportunity here for Fulham?
It was really good setup play. Really good, nice flowing move. The way Frederick won the ball back, played into Kearney, who was falling to the ground, and managed to slide it to Johansson. And then Johansson had the intelligence to look to his left and see Mitrovic is free at the far post. And it was the right idea, trying to curl it with the right foot into the bottom right-hand corner. but he just put it a bit wide. And I just imagine what we'd be saying if he just put that a bit more to the left and it went in. He would have been the new superstar. I would have been singing his praises. But, you know, that's a fickle business of football. You know, if you're a striker, the fine margins do count. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get on his back because he never misses chances like that once in a while. But it really would have been so much different if he put that away. I think he'll get it right in the end. I think he'd be a really good player for us. But just the fact that he hasn't played that much first-team football over the past couple of months probably means he's a bit rusty. And that chance just went begging.
Agreed there, my friend. I think in a few more matches with us, that will become a goal. And let's hope it does. But that was a decent opportunity. And then you have a header by him just a couple minutes later in the 87th minute. Then, Giannis, I'm going to go back to you because we got to talk about the ending stages. And this is where Fulham seemed to be the strongest at times in matches, is at the end. Call it fitness, call it style, whatever. They seem to be very strong because here we are. We're talking about several opportunities for Fulham. This was the best of them. I have to tell you, I thought that Steph Joe was going to score here. So let's talk about the shot by Johansson that hits the post. It was a wonderful run. He finally got himself into a good situation, and unfortunately, he hit the post.
Yeah, but that's one where I think I've got a feeling that Monday morning, Slava will have a little take him to the side and go, okay, the next time you're in a position like that, you've made that fantastic run, but you've seen, you know, those whites in your eyes and you've gone for glory. And, you know, there are options on the far post. You just, it's a not, you know,
have them, yeah. Back.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny because if you look at last week's game, there was that 1v1 and Mitrovic made a really good run and he's taken it himself. And that's a nice finish. But sometimes, you know, it's always, you know, the team always comes first. And for me, for someone who's an experienced international, I expected a better decision from Steph Joe. To me, that was a missed opportunity because, you know, it's one thing if players don't make runs from deep, so that if he's looking across, there are no options and he feels he's going to take it himself. But that wasn't the case here. And to me, that was, and I'm a big Steph Joe fan, but I think that was a selfish play.
Okay.
He's got to think. They're all over the place. Bolton are at sixes and sevens, and we've caught them on the hop. And, you know, I'm sure in reflection and with the coaching staff, they'll say, look, you know, we saw what you tried. Great if it came off, but a bit boneheaded if it doesn't. And the reaction that, you know, the players had made the runs inside said it all when it didn't go in. So he'll learn from that. But it was good that we attacked late. We were the fit at the end and we opened them up a little bit, but it just wasn't the BR day.
I agree there, Giannis. All right, Max, I want to get your thoughts about this missed opportunity. Do you agree with Giannis that he'll look back at the decision here and think, you know what, I should have passed it to a teammate here?
It's a tough one because the way he carried it in, I mean, when he initially picked up the ball, nothing was on, absolutely nothing. And the way he turned that into a really good score opportunity, first of all, hats off to Stephen Johansson. It was a great run. He just went by the entire, just went right around the box and no one could step to him. No one could touch him. And I think he just got a little bit too greedy at the end. I mean, after all that good dribbling, he just wanted to get the glory himself, and there really was not much of an angle. I'm not going to fault him for taking on the shot because we've seen in the past couple of weeks how good his composure is one-on-one.
Right.
So you really tipped him the score. And it would have been so cheeky if he just lobbed that one near post. Would have been the perfect finish. But I think you guys are probably right. There are many men coming in, crashing in the middle of the box, and if he just turns that across, doesn't even need to be a Fulham player. You know, it could have been a Bolton defender turning that one home. They're running back to goal. That probably would have been a better opportunity looking back. But I think we just need to give credit to Johansson for really turning nothing into something there.
It was a wonderful run there, Max. Yeah. Have to give him full credit on that. It's just that, you know, I think Giannis just brought up a good point. When you look at it, and yes, it was a decent shot, but he might, again, when you analyze yourself, when you break down what you do, you know, I think it's always positive to say, could I have done this better? Or could I have done this differently? So maybe he will look at this and say, you know what, maybe next time I should have passed to a teammate. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it, Max.
Yeah, I think looking back, he should have passed the teammate, sure. I agree with you there. And we probably would have won the match. But I think if you're that player, he was always going to shoot there. You're not going to give that opportunity up.
Fair enough there, my friend. Great analysis by the two of you overall on both halves. But let's now transition. Let's look at the stats. Let's see what the stats tell us about this match, if they tell us anything. So I'm going to run through them. Let's start with possession. Fulham had 68% to 32%. Total shots, 12 to 10 in favor of Fulham. On target, 6 to 4 in favor of Bolton. Corners, 8 to 5 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 22 to 12 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 16-11 in favor of Fulham. Attempted passes, 619 to 290 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 231 to 107 in favor of Fulham. This is an interesting stat. Usually we see Fulham over 80%. They were not in this match. They were at 79%. And Bolton were at 61% for passing accuracy. Accurate passes were 492 to 179 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels were 29 to 28 in favor of Fulham. And fouls were 15 to 8 in favor of Bolton. Okay, Giannis, what do the full-time stats tell you? Do they tell you anything?
It's a ho-hum, isn't it, really? It's typical Fulham, lots of possession, lots of passing. But in this particular case, you know, and that's the beauty of this division. Every team is very, very different. They, you know, considering the way that they try to approach the game, Bolton, that is, and close us down, 68% possession is pretty good. But, you know, if you get the chances, you've got to finish them. Sometimes I'm reticent to have a go at coaches with substitutions, because at the end of the day, the players that still have to do the job beyond the old Belichick, do your job. They've got to do the job beyond the white lines. And it wasn't as though we didn't create chances. They didn't create a lot. If they look back, they can really, what did they do? I mean, apart from the Lafondre, you know, that was one great save that Bettinelli made near the end. But it's, apart from that, we really didn't create a lot. But having said that, you know, the stats are nice. We just didn't we didn't finish the chances. And it's not necessarily the challenge, it's the timeliness of it. I mean, I think of the Kamara chance when he just, after he just come on.
Yeah.
You know, would have completely changed the game. But it's, you know, it's tidy in terms of statistics, but it's not as comfortable. The reality wasn't as comfortable as the statistics would suggest.
That's a great way to put that, Giannis. How about you, Max, on the stats? What do they tell you?
The one stat I want to make a mention of is the corners.
Okay.
We always seem to dominate corners. Can't remember the last time we scored from a corner. I always bring this up. I think it's
a good point.
Two boxes against Ipswich when Sigurdsson scored. We don't score from corners. It's dreadful. And each one today got progressively more shots.
Max, what do you think about that play that they have on for a couple of the corners? They kept trying and it just wouldn't work.
It's absolute shite. You play the short corner and you end up wasting opportunity. The ball halfway ends up back in our own half. Back to Bettinelli, swinging the ball in the box, especially the one that infuriated me. I'm sure you guys might agree. It was literally last minute of the match, last attacking opportunity. We do that little short corner thing. That's pointless. That's stupid. You're not going to score from that. And of course, we didn't score from that. Try to put in the danger area. What's the worst thing that can happen? It gets cleared. There's a bit of a tumble in the box. You might slot it home. Why are we doing this short corner thing? It's not working. And it makes me annoyed because it literally, last play of the match, you need to get an opportunity. You need to do it quickly. And we do that little thing on the touchline and it doesn't work off. Big surprise, you know?
Right. Listen, it's a good point to talk about the corners. Yeah, so I want to go to you. I'm glad that Max brought this up because it's frustrating watching them take corners. I know that they're trying to do things off of corners. And I give them credit for trying things, but at some point, just get the ball in the box.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Max. It just it's not working.
No, it's
not. It's not working. You know what? If you were in a relationship that had that much failure, it would have ended after the first date. In fact, you'd have climbed out the restaurant window. I did that a couple of times, by the way. And eating your meal, but make sure you don't pay the bill because there's no way you're taking her back to your place or her place or even a bus stop. It doesn't work. Every short corner goes the same way. Here's a thought. Get the ball in the box. Get it in the box. We've got some big defenders up there that can attack. We've got strikers up there that can have a go. Why do we persist with this short corner nonsense?
I have no idea. Not successful.
And it makes it worse because we get so many attacking corners in a game and we do nothing with it. It's just you know, if you step off a cliff, there's only one place you're going to go, and that's down. I mean, it's not working. And I'm rarely critical of Slava, but that bit just confounds me because it hasn't worked all year.
No, it hasn't.
Use the short corners as a surprise element. Do a couple of trick plays if that's the way you're going to play it. But if not, get someone to take the corners that can beat the first man and cause some mayhem in the box. We've got the people in there that can do it. Not this short corner nonsense.
Let me ask you this. Could this be a philosophy thing with Slavisa? Because, again, we see how he wants to play the ball off from the back, and he does not want Bettinelli or Button just to kick it long. Could this be on the similar wavelength, Giannis, where he just, as we would say here about the Patriots, he's trying to be too cute. He's trying to be too fine. He's trying to outthink the other team instead of just getting the ball in the box.
Absolutely. And it's a set. And you know, whereas, you know, with Bettinelli and Unbutton, you've got, you know, it's playing the ball out from the back. We're talking about an attacking set, one of the most attacking, the most dangerous set pieces you can have in possession is a corner kick. So many goals are scored from corner kicks. And yet if I'm playing against Fulham, I'm going, I'll give corners away all day long. I'd rather give a corner away than a throw-in. And how silly is that?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, they're going to do the same old short corner routine. They're not going to get the ball. We'll just hoof it clear. It doesn't work. It's not working. And we've got to, with 15 games to go, we've got to find a different way. And really, the different way is the simplest way. Get it in the box. Someone at the near, someone at the far, someone attacking the keeper, lots of movement around the box. Just look for something to go wrong and attack the ball in the box and feed off scraps, and you'll create something. This little ticky-tacky-tocky nonsense in the corner doesn't seem to get us anywhere.
Okay. Let's now go to man of the match, because I definitely want to give a man of the match here. So I'll go to you first, Max. Who's your man of the match?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty an easy one. It's Matt Target. Obviously, the goal 4 minutes in, masses. I mean, how many? It just seems like when you play at Fulham and you play left back, you're going to be in and amongst the goals. How many left backs do you see in the country ghosting in with just a really well taken header like that? It just doesn't seem to happen to other clubs, but our fullbacks are getting a really good attacking positions. And that was still well taken. But even more impressive for me was his defending the entire match. One thing he has that I haven't really seen from any Fulham defenders is the way when he goes in for a slide tackle, not even on the break, but just in a normal one-on-one situation, he wins the ball almost every single time. And it's just such a good defensive move to have in that he wins the ball in almost every situation, and he's going to come out with the ball and go past the attacker. He was solid all match. He took a knock to the face 15 minutes in, got a bunch of boos from the really brilliant top-class Bolton fans, and he carried on just like he was nothing. So for me, he really encapsulated a really good Fulham spirit today. He's quickly becoming a fan favorite, and for that, he's my man of the match.
Okay. Giannis, how about you?
For me, it's Matt Target, because in the words of Belichick, do your job, and Target did his job today. I mean, he was, I thought, very, very solid. You could say a number of players were a bit below par today. Might have been the conditions, physicality of Bolton. Right. But Matt Target, you know, he was up for the fight. And it's not because of the goal. I just thought he was just all over the place. He was, you know.
He's also very composed, Giannis.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good and a good young player. And he slotted in beautifully at the Cottage. And I was delighted with his performance today. So for me, it's Matty Target.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I know people have been clamoring for the return of Scott Malone and how not having Scott Malone has affected our season. Has Matt Target, again, it's a very short window here of time with Matt Target, but do you see him as someone that has finally replaced Scott Malone? And could he potentially exceed what Scott Malone did with Fulham? I'm curious your thoughts on that.
That's an excellent question. Yes and yes. I do think we miss Scott Malone at the start of the year. And again, I'm going to give some love to Dennis Odoi, because Dennis Odoi has done, you know, all in all, pretty well, a left back. But
he's not offensive enough for this team, though, Giannis.
No. And Malone, to be fair, I mean, he was given the opportunity to play Premier League football, and nobody, none of us, no fan should begrudge him the opportunity to do that. Good. Same with the Fredericks potential situation down the line. You know, good for them. You want to play at that level. But it was a little bit of a, you know, it was almost like a little bit of patchwork in terms of what we do. And it's turned out to be a very, very astute signing. Target, you know, if he's playing like this, he's going to play every game, barring injury or suspension. And that's why I sort of like what Fredericks is doing, because really it's a similar situation with Fredericks and Christie. But Fredericks is playing well. He's really puts a foot wrong. And that's great. What you want is you want competition in every single place. And I think we have that. I don't think Ollie Norwood played a bad game today, but Slava's decided to give Kearney a little bit of a run. Again, I'm not sure I'd have taken that risk, but he's given him a little bit of a run around. He's given Ollie a little bit of a breather. And wherever you look in the pitch, you have competition, except really at the back and the middle. And
I was going to say, except for center back.
Yeah, and that still worries me that we didn't pick anyone up, because right now you've got Odoi.
That's it, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. You could put Kevin
Mack. Nothing against Jallo, but I see Jallo as a second-half substitution situation.
And he can't even get in the 18. And that's which tells you that if something goes wrong at the back, Odoi is going to be the one that's going to slot in.
Okay, very good there, Yanis. Max, I want to go back to you. I'm glad that we were talking about Target. Both of you have him as your man of the match. And while you guys are talking about this, I just had Scott Malone on my brain. It says, can we finally get past not having Scott Malone? I think we finally are there, Max. So I want to get your thoughts, because what's interesting about Target is that it just seems like he fits. Would you agree?
Yeah, it fits really well with the system, and the way he plays that kind of passing style is really good. And the same thing we saw with Sessegnon is that he can link up with the attackers so well. And we've even seen you know, how they're in training, and even the social media comments on each other's Instagram posts. It seems Target and Sessegnon are developing quite a relationship, which you really love to see two young Englishmen on the left wing. And when you have players who are mates, players who have that good kind of connections, you see it on the pitch, it's going to produce better results. And they had many times today a good link-up play on the wing. And it seems like he's a popular player around the squad. So I really like Target coming in here. And I think to answer your question about Malone is that he's completely solved it. Because the two things that we had with Malone, the first issue was Sessegnon had to play left back.
Right.
Because Malone left. And the second issue was we missed that kind of solid defensive first player, and Target has solved both those problems. He's allowed Sessegnon to play farther forward, and he's delivered composure and quality in the left back position. So for me, couldn't ask anything better. And I want to say that I was a bit skeptical at the beginning to deliver Target a full success before it even played, because I made the comparison to Luke Garbutt. And I can safely say now that I was completely wrong to even bring up those two players in the same sentence.
Because I remember when you did that, Max. I totally remember when you did that.
And I'm very glad that I was proven wrong that instance.
I'm glad as well. But I understood why you were going there, because you were thinking about Garbutt and how it didn't work out. So I definitely get why you brought up that comparison. But Garbutt and Target are not in the same stratosphere. I think that's been established in a very short period of time. All right, guys, to finish the show, let's talk about Slavisa. Let's rate the Fulham head coach. This should be interesting. Max, I'll start with you. Give a rating for Slavisa.
It's a tough one. I'm going to say 6. I wanted to say 5, but at the same time, I don't want to get in Slavisa's bad side. I don't think anyone wants to get in Slavisa's bad side. So I'm giving a +1 rating to 6.
Okay.
Listen, the starting 11 was good. You stick with the winning formula. I'll agree with that. And the reason I'm not giving him a higher grade is because that double substitution. As we've heard before, I think that probably cost us the match. I'm trying to be a bit too gung-ho and throwing on 2 strikers when we maybe need to be a bit more conservative with our approach in the final minutes. But listen, I like that he put on Kearney. And listen, we didn't lose. We got a draw. So that's a 6 for me. It's good. It's average, but it's not great.
Okay. Giannis, Slavisa, your rating.
I'm going to give him 7.5. I thought the starting lineup was okay. I like the bench. Obviously, Cabana not in it, which was a shame. I applauded his double substitution. I might have waited, as I said earlier, a little longer to take Font off. Kearney's one was okay, although it might have been a calculated risk just because of the physicality of the game. I'm not going to... The only thing was the short corners. You know, you got a week between games, and at some point they've got to realise that, you know, that they've got to change their mindset, and that's where he slightly lose marks. But at the end of the day, the players still have to do the game. They've still got to do their work on the pitch. And I think I might have mentioned last week that I thought this was a potential banana skin game, because Bolton had just come off a really good win over Bristol City. And you look at their lineup, and you know, and I incorrectly said the Reebok Stadium is, of course, the Macron. Reebok, by the way, make better kits. Macrons are crap, but that's another matter altogether. I do think that it was going to be a fight this week, and it turned out to be, give them credit. But the players have to do the job. The chances were created. The goal that was conceded was a wonder goal. And really, apart from that, we'd have kept a clean sheet. So 7.5 for me. But he'll know that certain players were a bit under par, and I'm sure he'll give him a little chat, because Villa next week will be a different proposition. We want to get revenge. Although I am going to make one very bold prediction right now.
Okay.
And that is that Abubakar Kamara will start next Saturday, because Slava will put him up against John Terry and say, right, meet and drink. Have some fun, boy. I can't wait.
Early prediction from Giannis.
Yes.
Abubakar Kamara starting.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
What a horrible individual John Terry is. Soccer ability, no questions about pedigree, and his career has been magnificent. But, you know, for every, unfortunately, the loss of Liam Miller yesterday, former Celtic Man United player, or Cyril Regis a couple of weeks back, who were beloved, respected, well-liked by teammates, officials, and what have you. You have a John Terry who, apart from Chelsea fans and a few backwards Villa fans, despised by most. So it'd be nice to stick him on his ass next week, and I'm sure that Abubakar will be ready for that little challenge.
Okay, interesting. All right. Guys, fantastic show. Unfortunately, the result did not really go Fulham's way. I think we'll all take the point. We wish it was 3. But in the end, they probably got what they deserved, because Bolton played well enough, I think, to deserve the point. It's not something I want to say, but I think that's the reality. Great show. Fantastic show. But it is time to go. For Jan Janaeus and Max Cohen, I'm Russ Cohen. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.